We'll go ahead and be getting started on how the gospel frees us to live out our purpose. My name's Pastor Aaron Burke. I have the privilege to serve as one of the pastors here at Faith Church. And I just want to say again, we are so grateful and thankful that you are here for the pre-conference and you are an answer to prayer. We are always praying, especially that God's glory will be made known, that the Church of Christ would be built up, and just excited to see so many out there, soldiers on the front line, proclaiming Christ, ministering to those who are hurting, those who are suffering, those who are stuck in sin, and the joy it is to be able to be together and to encourage one another throughout this week. And so you have been in our church family's prayers, and we are so grateful that you are part of this conference. Let me open in prayer, and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you. We praise you because you're a purposeful God. We worship you because, unlike us, all your purposes will stand. You will do and accomplish all that you please for your glory. We confess we have such a small view of your glory, such a small view of your purposes. And forgive us, Lord, for any ways that, as we think about our own life and our purposes and goals, things that don't align with yours, we pray that you would bring those things into light even in this session, that we would become more conformed to Christ and more like him. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see your glorious significance and purpose for us in Christ, that we may praise you, that we may love you, that we would do your will and be more like our Savior. We pray and ask that you would fulfill all your purposes that you promised to as your people. We pray. Amen. I remember asking a man coming into counseling in a first session, what is the purpose of human life? Is that a question you often answer maybe when you meet with somebody for the first time, just to kind of understand what do they see as the purpose of their life? The gentleman said, who can possibly know that? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Who knows? I think that response in some ways acknowledges something about the question itself. It's a great question. It's a meaningful question. And many times, I think, when we even answer that question according to God's word, we can have kind of a sense of, man, it almost seems like proud or condescending to somebody to tell them, I know the purpose of human life. Right? There's also a part of us that kind of doesn't like to say that at times. But I think that the reality that we can actually answer that confidently speaks about the glory of our God, the significance of our God, that our God is actually really, really, really good, and he actually really, really wants us to know very meaningful and significant things, glorious things that he doesn't want to keep from us. He doesn't want to hide from us as his people. And so helping our counselees to understand, many times behind that sort of concern, like, I can't know that, I can't understand that, is revealing in some ways their understanding of God and his goodness to actually want to make these significant things about their life known and clear so that they can worship him. And we can sometimes also be so caught up in the busyness of our own lives, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our work, whether it's in just the family dynamics we and responsibilities we have from day to day, that in what we might say the smaller goals or the smaller purposes of our life that we see there's meaning and there's value, we lose sight of the bigger picture and the bigger purpose that God has for all things. For example, a successful scholar shared with me recently, my life seems like it's just on one track to the next. I finished this track in my schooling. I see the next track in my schooling after the undergrad was then the master's. And then after the master's, there's the next track before me. It's the PhD. But I don't really understand why. So he sees meaning, he sees significance in his work and his research, etc. And yet the bigger question for why he's going from one track to the next in his life is totally lost on him. Where's my life going? Parents shared to me recently, we feel a bit lost right now in our marriage since the kids left home. It doesn't seem like there's point to just keep going in our marriage like everything's okay. And I think behind that statement, again, is something lost on the bigger purpose of the marriage, the bigger purpose of their life in their marriage and in their relationships with their kids outside the home. A man recently out of work because of a medical issue said, my life seems hopeless if I can't farm. I just don't know what I'll do. Behind that statement, again, is something about how he understands his purpose and work. And I think in some ways, that's small, that's narrow to the glory and significance of the work that we get to do as Christians, that he's not seeing. It is bigger and greater and higher than even just the kind of glory he sees in the work of farming. And so behind each of these statements, I believe, are beliefs about understanding of purpose in their life. And we can be, again, so involved with our studies, our responsibilities and relationships and work, we can lose sight. And that's why we want to focus today on how the gospel frees to live out that purpose. And first, I want us to focus on just the importance of knowing our purpose in life for the counseling our own hearts, as well as to be able to minister and help those that God brings across our path. We can encounter so many trials and temptations. It's easy to focus on all the problems. I think it's easy, especially for us. We are very problem-focused people. As sinners, we're good problem makers, so I think we just naturally see when there's a problem. If you've worked in any kind of team environment, you know this to be true. It's really easy for everybody to say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. That person did that wrong. This person needs to write. But then to actually bring solutions to the problems, that's a lot more challenging. And I think it reveals something, again, about purpose. And often and early on in counseling, as counselors, I can feel the weight of when you see so many problems in somebody's life, and even when we think about in our own lives, we see all these ways we're falling short, all these ways I'm not fulfilling that responsibility well, here's an example I failed in my life. You kind of go back to, where do I start? Where do I begin? As you think about, you see relational strain, or you see depression, and you see grief. Maybe then you see, because of the grief and the depression, now there's drunkenness in their life. And with that, then there's sexual immorality, and then there's communication challenges. And you start to see all of these things. And in the early sessions, it can be so confusing to go, where do I start? What do I focus on? And when we see all the ways we need to grow, I often find myself asking this question. And this is where we often say we are purpose-focused in Christ in our counseling, not problem-focused. We need to orient the person toward Christ and their purposes that are found in him, and not focus primarily on all of these presenting problems. But here's, I think, the question and the challenge that we often face in our own lives and those we're ministering to, is the presenting problems of our life are what we feel like are the most significant, that are the most weighty, the most glorious thing I have to kind of deal with right now. And so how do, as a counselor, do I help someone who they're feeling these realities? This is what's sort of in front of their face right now is the biggest issue. And so then if I turn to Genesis 1, in that first session, that second session, and I have them start reading about the creation story, I think your typical person you're counseling is going to go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the deep. And they're going, what does this have to do with my marriage? What does this have to do with drunkenness? What does this have to do with sexual immorality? And there's, I think, one of the learning lessons that God is trying to work in our hearts and lives is, how do I help in my own heart connect the bigger purpose question to see these related to these presenting issues? How do I help my counselees do that as well? Because I don't think naturally we think about how glorious and how significant the purpose question is in dealing with these issues at first. It seems like the presenting problem is the thing I got to talk about. And yet we know as we get into counseling, the heart, right? That's many times where we have to get to eventually. And so just to be noting in your notes, how would I transition in some of these presenting problems in my life and others, bring it back to and connect to help somebody try to see why it matters? They have to kind of start with purpose questions first. So for example, knowing your purpose impacts how you view and value your life. You know, in Genesis 1, 26 through 27, I want to read those verses and you can follow along with me. Again, God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over creeping things that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.